Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Let's begin a slate. The song goes. Page 878, middle of the Mamar Chazal. Okay, the lips of the Kohen will speak Das. Okay, and okay, kiss the lips of the Kohen will speak Das. The Sori Vashmi Piu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvachesu. Rabbi Meir Hechi Gamar Tarmi Pumi Diacher. Okay, a little bit more of yours. We are on page 878. We are on the Mamor Chazal on the bottom. On the bottom of the page. Pasuk Zayin, ki sifsei choyin yishmeru da'as. V'soda yivakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzvokosu. We're describing the Kohen, we're describing Aaron, and we're describing the institution of Kohanim, and they are people which guard knowledge, and people will seek from them guidance. The words that come forth from their mouths are pure emes, and people will seek from them emes guidance. So what is the question? How could it be that the mayor who studied from his Rebbe Acher, he was Elisha ben Avuya, and he, b'seif yamav, he, what we say today, he went off the derech. He was not observant. Way off the derech. What do you mean way off? What do you do to go off the derech? He was off the derech, and the question over here is what? Why then was Rabbi Meir permitted to continue to study by his Rebbe? From the Gemara it's Mashma, Rabbi Meir, the holy Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, he went to learn by Acher, even at the time when Acher was no longer an observant Jew. But the pasuk here says, Kitar Livakshu Nibuki Malach Hashem Tzvakasu. The model that the Torah, the Malachi presents for a Rebbe, is the Rebbe has to be a Malach Hashem. A Malach Hashem, he has to be, which whatever, however you want to translate that, it obviously means that you're at least an observant religious Jew. So what is going on over here? So Meir Hechi Gamar Tami Pimi Budi Acher VaAmar Rabbi VaRachama Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ma'idach Siv Ki Siv Sechon Yish Mudas VaSeivak Shmipiu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakos So In Doim HaRav LaMalach Hashem Tzvakos Yivakshu Tomipiu, Vimlav Al Yivakshu Tomipiu. Amare Shlokish, and Meir Kuro Ashkach Vadorash. He found another pasuk that says, Hat Oznecho Shema, turn your ear and listen. Divrei Chacham, the words of the Chachamim, Vilibcho Toshis Lidati, and your heart you shall turn towards me. So the more makes a drash, Lidatom. It doesn't say Lidatom. That you shall turn, you shall toshis, you shall set your heart to their knowledge. Lidatam lo nemar, ella lidati, to my knowledge. In other words, listen to what the Chacham have to say, but then filter it. Filter it and take out the fruit and throw away the klipa.
That's the Rav's. Is he saying it's the content, not the person?
Well, it's a very dangerous game. Where do you draw the line? Okay, like...
But he's the exception that proves
it. It's like, Elif Alfi Avdolis, Biden said something 2 days ago, which is under a lot of scrutiny, is they asked him, so what do you think of Cuomo? So he asked them his conduct or his accomplishments, something along those lines. So he said, they asked him, I don't even know where, and he said, well, I'm not going to say the four-letter word he said, but he basically said that he was terrific, did a fantastic job as a governor.
Him.
What?
Because he supported him.
He did it, but as far as his personal conduct, that's a different story. Now, see, that's a very that statement he made. I have no doubt. I didn't go check out the blogs and see what people say about that. But that's that's a double-edged sword. That type of statement is where you want to differentiate. You want to differentiate between the person's his moral standing in society and what he accomplished. You know, it's a very complicated thing. It's a very obviously a very complicated.
When the people die in the hospital, he says, "Who cares how they die?"
Right, I'm not talking about the truth.
For
right. We're not talking about the truth. We're talking about just to publicly make that statement to differentiate between between what he thinks he accomplished, who says he accomplished anything, and his personal his behavior. What?
That's another thing they have.
Okay, so you know, this is politics. Politics is politics. But that was a public statement where he's saying that you have to differentiate between a person's personal life and not only personal life. It's not only personal because of the crimes he committed were in public. Okay, this
you mean character.
Character, right? His character and supposedly his policies. Say the exact same thing as Trump. Okay, Trump. People say this all the time. Again, this is a time he does all the time. Is they differentiate between his policies and his personal character. If you want to learn Pirkei Avos, I mean, basically, he's the perfect thing to use as an example. Whatever it says in Pirkei Avos is just the opposite of Trump. No, Rav Chol, you don't agree to that?
No.
No? Okay, maybe not 100%, but pretty close. Okay, so the firm people say this all the
time.
The firm people say this all the time. There's such an argument in politics and a religious Jew relating to politicians to make this differentiation, and that's not really so simple. It's not so simple to do that. There's a lot of overlap, and there's a lot of influence, and okay, it's too complicated over here. But the Gemara over here, the ruling of Yamai Mechazal, which seems to say just that. I mean, we have a stira. The pasuk here says, okay, so which we learned, if doim rabcha l'malach Hashem tzivakos, yivakshu tumim lav, if not, al yivakshu tumim piyu. And then the pasuk says also, listen to what they have to say. They have a lot to offer. They have knowledge, they have wisdom, they have chokhmah. But at the end of the day, set your heart l'dati, to Hashem, not to them. In other words, extract fruit and throw away the klipa. It's a stira. It's mamish a stira. So how do you reconcile this contradiction? I don't know. The Gemara is acknowledging there's a contradiction. Ledata lo nemar el ladati. Another answer. Rav Chanina amar mehacha. Shem uvas ui. Listen, my daughter, and see. But vahati oznech. But turn to me your ear. Vishikhi ameich uve sovich. And forget what your people are doing. Same idea. That listen to other people. Take what they have to offer. But at the end of the day, don't behave the way they behave. They are teaching you valuable concepts, but they don't practice them themselves. So don't learn from their example. Learn from the words that they have, the lessons. So the Gemara at the end says, Koshu Kroy Ahadadi. The end of the day we have a contradiction. The Gemara is like Koshu Khosha Mutu Lubatoy Rasha Batalamud Godol. Shadeli Zoher Ha Bikata. The Gemara gives it the answer. The answer is when it says in the beginning in Dao Paski Sisikhan Yeshmudas Savakshana Piyu Kimakasham Tsvakasu, this is a vulnerable person. This is a child or a person that's not yet mature. He's not yet reached a state in his life where he's a finished product, where he is not subject to being influenced. When a person is young and naive and vulnerable and he's learning by a Rebbe, then what's gonna really make an impression upon him? The example his Rebbe sets, not the lessons. When a person gets older and figures out how this world works, then he doesn't have to be on guard to such a degree. Then the ikar is go to chokhmah ba'amim tamim. There's wisdom among the nations. The Umay Yisraelim, they have a lot more to offer. The apikarsim, they don't have the values of the Torah, but you know there's what to learn from them. There's what they have, what to offer. Take what you know to be MS and integrate the lessons, the value that people that are not necessarily observant, they don't have a Torah hashkafa, even goyim, then it's not so dangerous. But for a child, the ikar chinuch, the ikar lesson the child will take away from him when the day is over, is the example that his Rebbe, his parents set for him. A child's mind is wet cement. And what makes an impression is the whole a fancy German word, Weltanschauung. The Weltanschauung, the whole worldview. The worldview of a person is what makes the impression upon a child. That's what a child absorbs, the way his parents, the hashkafas parents, the home, not the lessons, the example the people set. That's the pasuk over here. Ki sifsei choyim yishmudas v'sei v'akshem l'piyu. Ki malach Hashem tzevokai siyum d'mirach l'malach Hashem tzevokai siyum d'mirach l'piyu. The imlav stay far away. But when a person is not subject to their influence because he already figured out himself what path he wants to forge in life, where he's holding life, his hashkafa, his life already are solid, they're already complete, this is who he is, he's a mature adult. Now you want to understand something deep, you know, you're not going to be influenced. It's not going to make a difference. You're not going to make a difference who's going to, if someone has something good to offer, it's not the end of the world. Now this is a controversial thing I'm telling you, because I have no doubt in my mind that there are people that will say that what I just said is pure apikosis. I have no doubt in my mind. They'll say that just because you're 100 years old and you're as solid as can possibly be, if you're going to read a book from a person who's not your hashkafa, in order and that person is presenting words of chokhmah, brilliant concepts, it's apikorsis, just to open up the book, because somehow, some way, his apikorsis is going to seep into your neshama and destroy you. Listen, I'm not from that camp. I think what it says over here is pretty clear. Over here in the Medrash, asks this contradiction. This pasuk, it cites two other psukim, and the Medrash says you're an adult, you're a mature adult, you trust it. That if there's someone out there in the world who has what to offer, go for it. Listen, see what he has to say. Take what he has to say and use it for your benefit to strengthen, to grow in MS. And don't worry, he's not going to influence you anymore. You're already a mature, healthy, solid person.
But he's the exception rather than
the rule. No, now why is he the exception? Why is it the exception? It says that over here in this medrash, it talks about children, basically children versus adults. A person who is vulnerable, who is innocent, doesn't know anything, they're vulnerable. They will learn by example. The example that is set by the teacher is much more influential than the lessons that the Rebbe is teaching. There's a lot of complaints against certain day schools out of town where they have a very great shortage of teachers. And they take Mechal Shabbos to be teachers for children. Mechal Shabbos, and they teach them Chumash, and they tell them.
True?
What?
You think that's still true?
I can't say it definitely was true. I there's no doubt. There's a lot less. Even in the English department, you're right, even in the English department, it's not so possible to take into the classroom, to go teach the biology, to teach math, to teach anything in history. You take in a person who is an outright apikoros, and you just tell, listen, keep all your nonsense to yourself, we're paying you good money, teach them American history. They have religions coming up, just teach them what they're supposed to know, don't talk to them about Shabbos, about all your nonsense. Teach them math, teach them biology, teach them chemistry, teach them whatever they need to know, English. Don't go tell them all your beliefs in life. That's not what we're paying you. Critical race theory. We're not here for you to give. We didn't hire you to teach them critical. You know, that was the big hire of Corona. Because Corona, with distance learning, the parents started discovering what they really teach them in school.
That's actually very true.
And that's why they all went on strike.
Even older people, who was the point whether it was 80 years old and became a...
So the Gemara talks about it, because he had a problem, because when he grew up as a non-observant Jew. So when his roots were weak. So then later in life, when the tide changed, he went back to his old ways. When the pressure in society was very, very intense, he went back to the way he was raised. Because he was raised as a non-religious Jew. Life is complicated. Obviously, you know, the mind is very delicate. But over here, this medrash is not differentiating between people, exceptions and non-exceptions. It says everyone. The person is entitled to make a decision. Am I going to be influenced? And certainly the mature adult. Am I going to be influenced by this person? I just want to go here, go watch a YouTube video, and listen to what this apikoros says. You have a big, big apikoros, and you know that he has something to say about something very important to you, and the information he's going to present is very valuable to you for what you need to know. And you have to, but you know good and well that this guy is a major league apikoros, and it's obviously when he gives a speech, it's gonna come out some of his apikoroses. So should I say, listen, you know, I don't want to contaminate my neshama. Just listening, describe how the sun goes, how the earth goes around the sun, and describe, you know, all of the intricate details of astronomy. It's going to be mitamting the lake. Okay, you want to go talk to a biologist. You want to go talk to him. You want to go listen to understand how medicines work, vaccines work. But the person talking, you know good and well, you've read his profile, is an atheist, he's an apikoros, he's a this and this. So I can't even listen to him explain the science. I won't understand. Yeah. I won't understand. So I have no doubt in my mind that there are people out there that will tell you that if this person you know to be an apikoros, you're not allowed to listen to tell you that 1 + 1 = 2. You're not allowed to listen because when he says 1 + 1 = 2, in the earwaves, in his voice, there's apikoursis. And it's going to come into your neshama, and you're going to be finished just by hearing him say the words 1 + 1 = 2. There are people like this. I have no doubt about it. There are a lot of people like this, in fact.
Okay.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. I don't subscribe to that.
We don't have to live in a bubble.
I'm sorry. I don't subscribe to that approach to life. I have personally no problem listening to the biggest apikoros to say 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, I don't feel my neshama is so pure that it's going to be any more effective than it all. The damage I've already done to it. And if he has what to teach me, if he has the Gitaka teaching that 1 + 1 = 2, because I always thought 1 + 1 = 3. You know, so if he can set me straight. And he can teach me that 1 + 1 = 2, you know, even though he is an apikoros, I'll go for it. I have no problem. And as far as I can tell, that's exactly what it says over here. Exactly what it says over here, on the page over here. And this that it says in the Pasuk, Malach Hashem Tzvokosu, Yivakshu Mipiyu, that's dealing with other types of situations. And the classic example is, he takes someone in kindergarten, you take a child in pre-1A, first grade, and you teach them the Aleph Beis, it's not a good idea to hire an apikoros to teach your children the Aleph Beis, to teach them the Bible. It's just not a good idea. Why? You tell them the teacher, I'm paying you good money, make sure you don't go tell them your values in life, just teach them how to read. It's not the best idea. There is something to it, where a person who is an apikoros, when he teaches even simple things, you know, a child who doesn't know from anything is vulnerable, can be affected. And that's what it says over here. I'm not making this up. This is what it says over here. You have to differentiate between someone, an individual who is vulnerable, who is ignorant, who is naive. He can be affected by a person that is not a Malach Hashem Tzvokos, even if he's just teaching you simple things. Verse, a mature adult got his education, he already decided what he knows to be right and knows to be wrong, and now you're listening to an apikoros to teach you what you need to know. Okay? I went to Brooklyn College. Brooklyn College had a lot of apikoros. A lot of strange people are professors. Professors are strange people.
I know it's not solid. It's the quote, Josephus. I'd say he read the same thing. Even though he's our enemy, we can learn from him certain things.
Certainly, okay. So, you know, in Brooklyn College, there are a lot of professors.
Even every Jew has a fear of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ala Yod Hazeh, Josephus, maybe I say he used to be Josephus, and I'd say.
I don't know anyone, Baruch Hashem, who went off the derech from any of the professors that we had at Brooklyn College that told quacks. I mean, anyone who went off the derech, he went off for other reasons. I don't see anyone that there was a professor that was so, his apikorsis was so potent, and just klach,
klach.
What? They do say things.
They
try. They don't. Those days was different. It wasn't so long ago. But it was a different world. Even just a few years ago, it was a different world. There was a certain sensitivity. Today, it's a.
Forget it.
Everyone was the deep end today. But not that long ago, it was a certain sensitivity. But it didn't hold them back from expressing themselves to some degree. What they believed, they didn't necessarily try to convince you. But they had no problem sometimes just letting you know what they believe, which you know, it's very interesting when you hear people how what they believe in. Let's go further.
The difference is in those days you could debate with your professor.
Correct.
Now
it's my way or the highway. If you come into my class and you don't subscribe to my value, then you get an F. And they said it explicitly. They said it outright. Outright, this is what I believe. If you don't believe in what I believe, then don't come into my class. If you come into my class and you open up your mouth, you get an F.
And that's a major difference.
You get an F, and the president of the university will back me. Will back me and will fail you.
Right.
That's the way it is today. It's a new world. Welcome to the new world. How did the world change? Who made this world new? Who did this to us? I don't know. What happened? I don't know what
this
happens.
One is the today's New York
the lefties and the wokies.
From East with the tiny colonies. Also, Rav Shmuel Feigelman and the lefties.
Rav Shmuel Feigelman loves us today?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he was an amazing person. Let's go, let's read the next Maimon Chazal. Okay, now we go over here. Is Aaron lezocha lechahuna ele b'schus haTorah? Shenema, this is also a very important chazal. Only in the schus haTorah shenema ki sifsechon yishu das. I'm on page 878 towards the bottom of the page, and middle pasuk Zayin. The Likutei Shas, yes, and it's let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight lines from the bottom. Aaron. Right. That line, just a few words over. Aaron. Aaron lezochel chun ele b'skus haTorah shenema ki sifsechon yishmudas v'soira yivakshu mipiyu. Okay. The fact that it says over here is, it says that the word Torah yivakshu mipiyu, the juxtaposition. Not just a juxtaposition, the fact that we are describing Aaron HaKohen, and it tells us about the fact that he guarded knowledge in Torah, which Dasya certainly means Torah, this was his merit. Okay, the merit Aaron L'Kohuna is only Torah, which is an interesting idea because Kohuna, what is a Kohen? We discussed it so many times. The Kohen mean the teacher of Torah. A Kohen at face value. When you look at the Torah, when you look in the Chumash, a Kohen's primary role is Avoda. Beis HaMikdash. He based the Tefillah L'chol Ha'alim. The Beis HaMikdash, they bring Korbanos. They offer sacrifices. Today, what is a sacrifice today? Tefillah. Prayer is in the place of offering, sacrifices. So, who would say that, if you look around in society, there are people that are very good at saying Tehillim. You ever see these people? I'm a kind of them. They have this ability to sit down, to mamish, to say Tehillim. They can sit for hours. Mitzvah Shabbos, they're sitting, they're saying V'yitin L'cha, word for word. They come early to davening and they say Korbanos, which is the Hislavos. I look at these people like UFOs. Like they're great, their minds. How do you do that? I can concentrate. I said that yesterday. You're plagiarizing here.
Oh, sorry, I must have missed that.
What does from stand for, Mayor?
Anyway, you know what they say about great minds.
What do they say about great minds?
Think
great minds. What does from stand for?
Also.
Full. There's a Yiddish expression. It has something to do with the person's full an England full of rishos, and only if, and only as a few, and no mitzvahs. From is in Yiddish. There's an expression in Yiddish. You don't like what you're hearing now. You don't like what you're hearing. This now, Mark, you're right. It's Elul. Mark is correct. Not to say bad things.
So you mentioned seeing the Irish Christmas
with you. Torah. Toiro Tfila.
I guess that's diametrically opposed to the other.
Avoda.
That but he had a heart of gold, and if he deserted to the place of Mishpat, because he was not envious of his younger
brother, of Moshe
Rabbeinu, becoming.
That's another man Chazal.
Right. He was open to
because he was not envious of his brother. Even though Moshe was younger and Moshe rose to a greater stature, that's a zuchus for Aaron carried on his heart, the cheshon ha-mishpat. But there's another idea you have to appreciate, and that is that there are people today that are their avoida is their niche in life is tefillah. They have the ability to daven. They have a mind. You're wired differently. There are people that are wired. Their brain is wired. Where they're able, they have an affinity to be mispala. Open up a siddur right away. They'll say tehillim. They'll say korbanos. They'll say vidin l'cha. After this davening is over, there's all this stuff that you can say. You can say the whole day in shul, and you can say the sheis zechiros, and you say the animan, and then you say the parsha mon and parsha teshuva and the parsha yira. Mark, you do all this every day?
Your environment of constant
Torah,
you're not going to be doing that.
You're affected by your environment.
It's like we say, what's good for one.
Right, everyone is different. Different strokes for different folks. But the point is, some of these people that are very big in davening, they're not known to be the big Talmidei Chachamim. And then there are people that are outstanding, beyond belief Talmidei Chachamim. Watch them daven. It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing to see the way they daven. Where do you find the person that excels, is known to be a master Talmud Chacham? He gives shiur, which everyone flocks to. He has sfarim. He has incredible knowledge, Torah knowledge. And when you watch him daven, he's the first one in shul, first one there, last one out. You watch him daven, you're impressed. This is a baal avoida. It's one in a million. One in a million, then also the Baal HaSodim. People, you know, they're specialty. They're not the big Talmidei Chachamim. They're not the big learner. They're not the big daveners. But when it comes to Chesed, they're the first person to give you the shirt off their back to help you. So everyone has their niche. Their niche. Where do you find a person that is a sholem? Almost one in a million. One in a million to find a person that is an outstanding Talmud Chacham, outstanding in Kreich HaTzilah, Chesed as well. So you think Aaron, no, you have Moshe the Aaron. Moshe is the noise in that Torah. Moshe is Torah, 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 Torah. Is Moshe a big davener? Well, the truth is yes, he is. Moshe did daven like none other. Moshe is the one that took Klal Yisrael the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim.
What's funny is we say Moshe is the daven, but I don't know what we mean by that. Is it those words?
What
that's
was
it? Or
what?
Is it other things? What the Torah tells us. Is that what we say?
No, of course not.
But they don't really.
Doesn't tell you what he said.
Exactly.
Doesn't tell you. He davened.
So that leaves room for everyone.
Everyone is unique in expression. Moshe Rabbeinu expressed himself in a unique way, and the Torah did not record, because it's not relevant for us what words he used to daven to Hashem.
I think it's a good example. We talk about
here, Elul, the time for us to daven. Yes, Elul is the Zman to excel, to refocus, recalibrate our devotion to Tzvila, to come early and absolutely. But if you look at the Torah, there's no doubt about it that Moshe Rabbeinu excelled in the Kreich HaTzvila. 515 tefillos to go to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe was the one that was in the Mispal Zuchor. He invented all the tefillos. Zuchar li Avraham li Tzukul Yaakov, he was misfaul the same.
What would you give to know what he said?
What?
What would they give to know what he said?
I give everything. To know the exact words.
Yeah. You see, I think you're giving bad examples of Moshe. Not bad, but there are better examples of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah when he davened to Miriam.
Kel not, refer no law. Short and sweet.
Don't think that
short
and
sweet.
Right. It depends. Yeah,
it depends on the situation. Sometimes the Gemara says, sometimes you have to daven, you have to marich b'tfilah, and sometimes it's appropriate with the katzer b'tfilah. Kel not, refer no law. The whole tefillah was just a few words in a few seconds because the people were waiting.
He wanted to do one. And also, he had the connection.
But it's an avoidant to daven. To daven is a
very
good
way.
But yet, when you say Moshe to a person, what do they think? Even though we know as a fact that Moshe was the greatest of the great of the Koyach of Tzivah, when you say Moshe, what do you think about?
Torah.
Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe. Okay, you know, I'll give you modern day examples. Rav Dessler. Okay, Rav Dessler, certainly. He's in the greatest Balei Musa. Nichtav me Eliyo. Rav Eliyo Dessler. Okay, I grew up, when I grew up, my Rebbe was so into my Dessler. Every word that came out of my Rebbe's mouth when I was in eighth grade was Dessler. He kept on telling us, Nichtav me Eliyo, he was totally absorbed in the raps, of Aaron raps in Chaim Bolin. He was totally absorbed in Nichtav me Eliyo. It was like he lived with Nichtav me Eliyo. Man, the pressure on me. Okay, so he's known in the world. He's Seraph Dester. What do you think of? Musa. You think of Musa, the person who, like Torah psychology. Rav Dester, in his writings, he's able to be Yoyred L'Soif Daito Shalom. What is a person, when a person, his behavior, what is he really thinking in his relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Everything. But you know something, Rav Dessler was a five-star Langan. Could match all the briskus. And the proof is in the pudding. They published recently his Chidushim. He gave Shiurim. He also gave Shiurim on the Blat Shir. And they published his Svarim. They published recently his Svarim on Shas. On his Shiurim. His Shiurim can match any briska. All the briska Russian yeshivas. And Ansan. But when you say Rav Dessler, what do you think of? Musa. He got shortchanged, right? He got shortchanged on his long...
Chofetz Chaim
was everything. Chofetz Chaim, see, Chofetz Chaim, people already appreciate Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, in the Beir Halacha, you will find every Rav Chaim that was ever there, you will find every svara, every Rosh Shiva, any svara that any Rosh Shiva ever said or will say, you'll find it in the Beir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. Although the Mishnah Berurah, first of all, no one can write like him. There's no one that can come to him the way he writes. The Mishnah Berurah is written with just, you take it for granted. You take it for granted until you see how other people write. Until you try to see the copycats who try to make a Mishnah Berurah like the Chofetz Chaim, and you read it and it doesn't make sense. You can't figure out what you're trying to say. And you go back to the Mishnah Berurah and you realize how spoiled you've been, and the Mishnah Berurah has the Chofetz Chaim. He knows how to write. He knows how to write. He has this incredible koyach of using the right words, constructing the right sentences, to present the information short and concise in a pleasurable way. And go try to copy that. No one can match his koyach, his golden pen. And Lomdis, he can put anyone in his pocket, any Rosh Hashiva you ever heard of. Study the Beir Halacha. The Beir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah, when he goes to the Lomdis of everything, is mind-boggling what's there. And in the Shaar HaTzion also. You know how many treasures are buried in the Shaar HaTzion, and those little on the bottom, golden nuggets that are there? Okay, he has sometimes in one page more chidushim on the Shaar HaTzion than some Rosh Yeshiva said their whole life. On one page. I'm not joking. Yet, when you say the Chofetz Chaim, what do you think of? Lashon Hara. Musa. Lashon Hara. Today, you should know, it's not really like that anymore, because I think today the Bnei Torah, even to some degree, they appreciated more for his longness than even the Lashon Hara. They gave up on Lashon Hara. That they gave up on. So they appreciate the longness of the Be'er Halacha. But years ago, before Mishnah Berurah became dominant in the world of Halacha, you know, Mishnah Berurah, it's very, the old print of the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha is in teeny little letters, not so easy to read the Be'er. Today they made it nice and big and fine. But the reputation that the Chofetz Chaim has is Musa. Get shortchanged, okay? People get shortchanged for, you know, he was great at Rav Chaim Brisk, the Brisker Rav. Rav Chaim, what was Rav Chaim known for today? Yes, any Bach in Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Lomdus, the Einstein of Lomdus. The method, to break down something into its smallest parts. Do you know there is no one in the world today, no one living today that can match his chesed? The chesed of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was a living chesed machine. I can't imagine there's anyone today that can come anywhere near, give up everything, of nothing. No money, life, gashmis means nothing. Everything that I have is yours. For real. And yet he's a dignified person. You know, it's just hard to really grasp who he was. They talk about Rabbanus. He's only, you know, in if you go to the rabbi school, and they talk about what does it mean to be a rabbi, he's always the example. Rav Chaim, we have a lot of this. Rav Chaim, a leader of chesed. What does a rabbi do? Chesed. The rabbi's primary job is not lomdus, it's not this. It's to be a baal chesed. People come to a rabbi, it's social service. It's social service. A rabbi, you got a problem. Okay, I'm going to help you. I have a Rolodex. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I have no busha. People that are very successful, I have no shame. I know one particular person. And like, what I can't get over is he has no busha. I just guess like he runs a certain. I don't want to go tell you too many details or give it away. The person is, but like he has a certain thing. Whatever he has, and he needs money. I got a problem. I got a kid here. This kid's in a lot of trouble. We gotta help him. And money that goes a long way. I need money. He has no busha. Going over to people. Oh, shalom aleichem, baruch reifin chaylo. Welcome. So good to see you. He has no busha. He mamish has no bush. Will go over to the biggest millionaire and he'll say, listen, I need money. I need your money now. And he won't let go of him until he gets what he needs. I mean, the average person, certainly myself, I couldn't even go dalramas with some of these people. I'm so scared, you know? He has no busha. No busha to get what needs to be done. He gives up his whole dignity to someone else. If I'm not going to go become a schnorra, and humiliate myself, like to make myself into the biggest piece of garbage, then this fellow is going to suffer. And I cannot allow him to suffer. He needs help. And the way I'm going to get him help is I know what needs to be done, and I'm going to get it done. Even though it means I'm going to become a schmata, I'm going to become a piece of garbage. Because this person needs help. It's a credible one. And all these types of these people, you know, it's an incredible mila. So the point over here is the Chazal over here say Aaron, Moshe the Aaron, Moshe and Aaron. Chazal say were a team. Really, it was a. There were three. How was the word in English? It was a trial. There's another better word. There's a better word. Three people who preside. Three people who work together. There's a fancy word for three people. What?
Triumvirate.
A triumvirate?
A triumvirate.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that word. I don't know. Whatever it is. But it was Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam was an equal partner. No question about it. However, Chazal often they only focus on two of the three, Moshe v'Aaron. And sometimes it puts Moshe first, sometimes Aaron first, and then Rashi says Shekulim. What does that mean exactly? They're equal. But when you say the word Moshe, what do you think about? Torah. When you say Aaron, what do you think about? Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. So if Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, you think about Avoda. Avoda, service. Service, not Torah. Not Torah, not learning. When you say Aaron, you don't think about a person sitting in the Beis Medrash learning the Daf Yom. You think about the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash doing Shechita, Kabbalah, Hailacha, Zrika, lighting the menorah, bringing the Keteres, the Avoidas HaMikdash. Avoida. And today, Unashal Mofodim Sifaseinu, Tefillah, is been called Avoida. Moshe in our minds, is etched in our minds, Moshe's Torah. Aaron is Avoida. Oh, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a Baal Avoida. Yeah, he was a fine Jew. He went to shul three times a day. Excuse me, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who went to Shemayim to pray for the Jewish people, and he saved them, and he taught us the Yud Gil Midrash Rachamim, and the tefillah doesn't, the siddur doesn't even begin without Moshe Rabbeinu. I know, but Moshe in my mind is Torah. Aaron, in my mind, is the Beis HaMikdash, Avoida. Oh, did Aaron, did he know how to learn a Daf Gemara? Did he know how to learn a Daf Gemara? Well, it says over here that that's what they did the whole day. The Kohanim, they sat in the Koil the whole day. Ki sifsei choyhein yishmeru das, v'soira yivakshu mipiyu. It doesn't say this about Moshe, at least not in this pasuk. So we have no doubt in our minds that Aaron was a five-star Talmud Chacham, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But yet, in our minds, Moshe is Torah, Aaron is Avodah. Miriam, good question. Miriam, I guess Chesed. Miriam, so Shifru,
exactly
Pua.
What is wrong with a person, a great person, being known for being outstanding in a particular area?
Nothing is wrong. Absolutely
since,
nothing is wrong.
There are very, very few people who are great all around.
Exactly. I always tell you that I used to go to the Shir Mitzvah Shabbos. They canceled it for a year and a half already since Corona broke out. They just shut it down totally. Not even Zoom. I asked them, let's do at least Zoom. Tell them, no. We have to do it live. All right, fine. Maybe, hopefully. I don't know. Hopefully they'll start up again after Sukkot. But what's the protocol? What's the procedure? Sugyus fun daf yoni. They bring in they brought in. It's local. The biggest Talmidei Chachamim that they can get their hands on. The biggest Rosh Yeshivas, no exception. It used to be a big thing. Now it's not really lost its whole. And I guess originally they would pick a sugya from the Daf Yomi, and they would speak about it for an hour. Then something happened, I don't know, many years ago, decided no, they don't want him to just speak for an hour. Only 45 minutes is enough. Enough to say lomis. The last 15 minutes, you should say on the parasha. Say divrei chizuk. Everyone today wants divrei chizuk. Divrei chizuk, okay, fine, okay. So in other words, divrei agada. So I've noticed this to be a fact. There are many of these Russian yeshivas, top of the line, we're talking over here, the, you know, five star. They come and they give the shir on the daf, they pick a sugya, they have all the maramakonos, what they speak about, they tell them they come with photocopies, someone puts out, and they say a very, very impressive, shir. It's no joke. And now it comes to the Divrei Agada. And the Divrei Agada, the last 10, 15 minutes, below standard. It's like, it wouldn't, if they would get up in shul and say this in the shul where the rabbi is supposed to. And sometimes, just the opposite. There's certain people I can tell you, their agada is second to none. They say things you've never heard before, creative, original things that are just beyond belief. What about the lungus? The lungus, the first 45 minutes? nothing to call, to write home about, right? Nothing so special. And I always noticed, it's always struck me, where do you find today a Talmud Chacham that is a master in both Halacha and Agada? There are people today that you go and you dine with people today that they are acknowledged as being inspirational speakers for good reason. They have what to say. They have what to say. And they're good. But when it comes to have them come and give you a shiur in lundus, a real lundus shiur, say something original. Say something creative. Take any sugi on the Daf Yomi and speak for 45 minutes. Give it your best. No, they can't do it. I mean, whatever. It just doesn't. But Agada, it's impressive. I all say. And many of them, just the opposite. Most of the people, just the opposite. The divrei halacha and the pilpul and the creativity. Wow, you know, you said something, you know, we've never heard before, and it's impressive.
I would like to say that my Rebbe fits that description.
A kalbach.
I've never sat in on a longer shashira
pit. Right, kalbach.
That I would understand it.
Yeah. Yes, kalbach. It's definitely true. Rabbi Kallis, we're tested. Rabbi Kallis said that he was no one ever came. He all of his rebbeim in both Lomdis and in Divrei Agada. Maskil Shlomo. Absolutely. It is extremely rare to find the shalom, to find a person who has a reputation. It's not just can he, does he. Has a reputation of shlemus. Shlemus in both Divrei Halacha, Divrei Agada. Go all the Rashi Yeshivas. Look at Rav Chodin. What is Rav Chodin known for? He's known for Pachad Yitzchak.
Yeah.
He's known for Divrei Hashkafa.
Right.
Okay, Divrei Machshava. Rav Chodin, he wrote a Masechta Nozir. What's it called?
Teres
HaNozir. I never wrote Teres HaNozir, but the reputation is it's second to none, right? But that's not his forte. If you would ask Rav Chodin publicly, if you would ask Rav Chodin a Shaila, a Psak Halacha, he would tell you, I don't know the answer. Go to this Rav. He will tell you who to go to get the answer. It's not my thing. I only have that much time, and this is my niche in life, and I devote myself. Just because you're a Rashi, you're Talmud Chacham, doesn't mean this is your niche. Now, here we're dealing with Aaron and Moshe. There's no doubt about it. Aaron and Moshe had both. They had everything. Can be. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu is the God of Adar. Moshe gave us the Torah. Moshe invented prayer, so to speak. And yet, in our minds, what is Moshe? Torah. Aaron? We don't look at Aaron as the nice in that Torah. We look at Aaron as the Baal Avodah, as the one who davens, the one who's serving in the Beis Hamikdash, bringing Karbanos and Karv Kadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, the Pasuk here says, who's the Malach Hashem Tzavakos that teaches you Torah? Aaron. He's the Rebbe. He's the Rebbe. Doesn't say Moshe is the Malach Hashem Tzavakos Yivakshu Toyda Mipiyu V'Toy Yivakshu Mipiyu. He sits Echon Yishish V'Das. It doesn't say anywhere in the whole Tanakh there's a nice pasuk about Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say, even though Moshe was the nice in that Torah, it doesn't say this. It says such nice words.
It is a given. I mean.
It is a given, but yet there's something very unique over here. So
actually they say that originally Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Torah.
Because he
made
a mistake. Okay, that is
it.
Well, yeah, they're really right.
He did the Avodah.
Okay, but we're talking at the end of the day. At the end of the day, when all the dust settles, what is their reputation?
Why did Moshe ever get?
Okay, that's a different reason. However, no one's perfect.
Why Aaron?
Okay, but at the end of the day, when we say Moshe the Aaron, Moshe is Torah, Aaron is Avodah, wait a minute, not true. Moshe is Torah v'Avodah, Aaron is Torah v'Avodah, and here, that's what it says over here in this pasuk over here, and that's what this Maamar Chazal is saying is, don't forget that even though in our minds Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, is Avodah, don't forget, Aaron, he can put every Rosh Hashiva in his pocket. All that put together. And the fact the Major says, it's only in the zuchus of his Torah was he zoiche to his avodah. And likewise, you could probably say, I don't have to have a Major to say this, but Moshe Rabbeinu, why was Moshe Rabbeinu zoiche to be the noisina Torah? Well, the facts are that Moshe Rabbeinu was from the biggest Balei Tefillah there ever were. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought us Vayavor Hashem al pana vayikra Hashem Hashem. It's Moshe Rabbeinu that brought down to this world this koyach of tefillah. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu get? It doesn't say it. I don't have a chazal that says this, but obviously they go hand in hand. So we should never underestimate when we look at people, we reflect upon Gedolei Yisrael who have for some reason Hashem creates such a thing as a reputation. It's in our minds. You say a name right away. You think of something. Right away, you in your mind, it goes in a certain impression. What about everything else? Yeah, it's true, but why has it not gone into my mind? I don't know. That's the way Hashem made the world. But don't ever chas v'shalom think that you can have one without the other. You have to have, and it says it about Aaron. It's only in the zuchus of something that he's not famous for does he have what he is famous for, what he's well known for. You don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, you see certain things, and we don't really know how things, in what merit, and how things evolve. There's always a lot more than meets the eye. Okay, let's go over here. Let's finish over this chazal. I'll read it again to finish up. Right before we got here, we'll come out. Finish over here with listening. Aaron lezochel l'chuna el b'schus ha-toyra. Shenemar, I'm on page 878. Shenemar ki sitzichon yishmu dasar mirach mupiyu. Next halach, one more halach, ha-mayim b'chazal. Chavivin koyhanim k'shehu mechanon ein mechanon el b'malach ha-yashores. Now, what does it mean, mechanon, when it describes them? Mechanon means, this is a hard word to translate. It also comes the word Kohen. Notice that you have the letters of the word Kohen. Mechanon, when it describes them. Kinu. A kinu is like a nickname. You have a kinu. A kinu, you want to describe someone. Now here, when it describes the Kohanim, Ein mechanon, ela b'malachi ha-shores. Shenemar, ki siv seichon yish mudas, v'siv akshon mipiu, ki malach Hashem tzvokesu, b'zman sh'atoro yoytze bipiv, Harehu ki malachei hashores. When the Torah comes mipiv, they are in the status of malachei hashores. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he wore a mask. He karan arponav. If you ask the average person, when did he wear the mask? What would you say? You would say, I mean, without knowing what it says in the Torah, you would say, Moshe Rabbeinu, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu glowed. Moshe Rabbeinu, he came down from Shemai, being in Shemai for 40 days. Ki karan arponei Moshe. He radiated. He radiated with light, and then you get burnt. You look at Moshe Rabbeinu, you get damaged. So you would think, so when did Moshe Rabbeinu need to put on the mask? When he's speaking to you. When Moshe says, I want to have a conversation with you. Come into my office, sit down. So you come into the office, and Moshe's looking at you. You're going to burn up, because Moshe is radiating. Right? When you leave the office, I'm not in the presence of Moshe, he's walking down the street. He's walking down the street, so he's not talking to me. So then, the fact that he glows, no problem. It doesn't affect me. It's just the opposite. The pasuk says. The pasuk says that when Moshe walked down the street and was not talking to you, then he had to cover his face. Because when they were not learning, he radiated, and just being in his vicinity, you would be burnt by the radiation. But when Moshe spoke to you in learning, he took off his mask. He took off his mask. And then the radiation didn't burn you. The radiation, adarabba, the radiation, you were basking in the glow of Torah, the Shekhinah. This is an attribute of a malach. A malach, something that's purely spiritual, when something is spiritual and you are participating in that spirituality, then the aura is something which is pleasurable and is beneficial. But when, no, now is not a time of spirituality. Now the show is over. No spirituality. And I want now to go to a state of chulin. Wait a minute. If the same Aron HaKodesh is opened, you can't go play games here in front of the Aron HaKodesh. You have to close your Aron HaKodesh. If when you're laning from the Torah, I'm thinking about when you're laning. So then, the sefer on the bima, the sefer is open. I'm listening to what it says in the Torah. That's what I'm supposed to do. But if I'm not listening to Kriya Satorah now, right now I want to play with my smartphone, and the sefer Torah is open on the bima, you're in trouble. Now the aura of the Torah is going to damage you. Because now is not the time to play games when the Sefer Torah is on the bima and you want to go do your Mishigasim. If you want to do your Mishigasim, put the Sefer Torah in the Arum and close the Arum. Now, do whatever you want. So, because putting the Arum away when you want to do what you need to do is you're putting a mask on the Sefer Torah to be Havdalah between the Kodesh and the Chol. But when the Torah is being read, then there's no problem. There's no other rabbi. You want to be there. You want to be present. You want to be in the room. You want to be in the room when they open the Sefer Torah to absorb the light. I don't know. No. I never had experience. I never had an experience with either or. Malachi, Eretz Malachi. I have no idea. There's like Fanim, Chayas Hakodesh. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. This is above my pay grade.
Kohanim are Mishor Sin. So that's the parallel.
They minister. Look, the Radak said that the word said Malach means a mess. Some want to say not like this Medrash. This Medrash clearly says that a Malach is spiritual. Some say no, he's a messenger. He's just a messenger of God. He does God's work. It has nothing to do with Malachi Hasharis. It doesn't say here in the Pasuk, doesn't say it is Malach Hashem Tzvokas. So how do you translate the word? You translate the word, he's a messenger of Hashem. He does God's work. A teacher of Torah, I'm an ordinary guy. I'm teaching the Torah. I'm not a Malach. When we say Malach, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hasharis, so that refers to, you know, spiritual entities.
The roles are parallel,
they're not the same. The roles are parallel, but it's a Malachi Hasharis. Right. But the Medrash goes further. The Medrash and most of the first one on the page say that Aaron HaKohen is Mamash, a Malach is a Mesharis. They take it a step further. When it says, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokasu, they take it with Malach, not, they don't translate it in a mundane form, a messenger. They translate it as a spiritual being. A spiritual being equivalent to those malachim we hear about in these esoteric books that minister before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes.
Provided it's one of the legit ones, could approach that status.
That's a very, very explosive statement, you say.
He's dressed in
okay, so he's a human being.
Could be. Not eating,
okay, but these are very lofty concepts. There's a difference of opinion over here. Even how far we want to go with this idea of a malach. Okay, but this idea is a very powerful idea, being a malach Hashem Tzvokais. And I thought we would have more mafarshim on a malach at least on the page. There is a chaimah sanach. Let's try to finish up with that.
By the way, it's kedai to see this pasuk.
Paragraph Yosef and Uziel, let's read it now. Fine, let's read it. Pasuk Zayin, Arei, let's read it, okay. Arei, Sifsei Chohin, the lips of a Chohin, Yitrun, guard, Mada, knowledge. What's Mada?
Mada is knowledge.
Knowledge.
But this Fatayim,
yes.
Are guards of the mouth.
The lips are the guards of the mouth, okay.
So whatever comes out
of the lips is a guard. The lips of the Kohen guard what comes out.
I would say it's like matzah shmura mishat tzira. Whatever goes in or there, it's shamur.
Shamur.
It's shamur.
I would think you would say to guard what comes out. For example, I just mentioned this, that there was an article in Mishpacha magazine about Rav Shmuel Ruzovsky. I don't know anything about him. The only thing I know, the article, fascinating, is that he spent most of the time when he prepared his shiur, what not to say. What not to say. When he prepared his shiur, so that's yishmeru, means to guard is always an expression of a lois of what not to do. When someone asks you a question, there are a lot of things you can tell them. There's a lot of information, a person that knows everything and he's challenged. What should you not say? That's a chokhmah.
That's a shmira, like to screen. What to say?
To screen.
We better say there are many mada'anim, and they know, but don't, better not to talk. Not to say. And he continues.
Okay, fine.
The Torah, the Ora'ah, not Torah.
Or your own instruction. instruction. The word Torah, the translation of the word Torah means instruction. He's a minister. He's a mishamish, a minister.
Any Kohen. That's his job. Nishmeru Da'at, number one. Number two, Torah, you actually will be in there was no Rabbanim in those times. It's just, you go to the...
The Kohanim were the Rabbanim, they were the teachers. They have Shams of Horosh, a Kohen is a teacher, a teacher.
Everybody knows, because he is the closest to Hashem. So I'll ask him questions, whatever I have.
Excellent. Okay.
He gives him the
precise
the job of the Kohen. Aval ve'atem
sotem. All right, that's next. We're going to do that. Yeah, that we're going to do soon. All right, that's the next pasuk. I just want to finish up. Let's see quickly the Chaimah Sanach. Let's try to finish up before we do right away so tomorrow we can go further the Chaimah Sanach very quickly. Back on page 877. Let's just run through it. Torah's MS, Chaisa. Let's make sure that's skipping anything over here. Okay, yeah. Page 877. Chaimas Anoch. This is the Chidah. Torah's MS, Chaisa, Fiyu, Vavalo, Nimsa, Bisfas of Efsha. He's telling us mida keneged mida. Why did he merit to have the Torah's MS b'fiu? He did not use his mouth to harm anyone else. He did not speak lashon hara. He did not say nivel peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always nemet al shalim sachar. You use your mouth in a respectable, proper way. Hashem will bless you that your mouth will be instrumental in being used to teach, to say something beneficial. The voice of his voice was misukon, was proper. What does that mean? Let's see what he says. Uvorei, the ikar hapilpul, the shakla v'tarya, udvar halach hakol hu Torah shebalpeh, the Torah shebalpeh, he keneged hashikha. Torah Shebal Peh is corresponds to forgetting. The Gam Loshon, he goes in some esoteric stuff here. The Gam Loshon Gematria Shechina, the Chayin Tzav Gematria Shechina, Peh Bechinas Shechina, Umi Sheshoimer Peh V'yorei Shloi Lifkoim Baloshoin, Shloi Yecheta Bashechina, Vadai, Kishloi Mei Torah Shebal Peh, when he learns Torah Shebal Peh, Sheik Negin Malchus, Ye Lo Eze V'siyu L'chavein El Ho'emes, period. V'osi shaper Torah's MS Chayis l'fiyu yan because avlo lo nimsa bisvasach. He's saying it very profoundly. When you take away all the Kabbalistic stuff, let's strip that away. He's saying a very powerful idea is that we learned until now all the commentators. The avlo lo nimsa bisvasach means that when he said a chiddush, when Aaron or Cohen would give advice or would render a halachic decision, there was no avla. If he would be challenged to defend his opinion, to defend his understanding, he can defend it. There's no avla. All the facts are correct. You do a fact checking on Aaron HaKohen, there is no avla. There is no avla. Everything is on the mark. All the fact checkers will sit the whole day and want to analyze, they all walk away empty-handed because there's no avla b'fiyu. That's how we learned until now. Along comes the chidani, he says, it's not the pshat. Torah, when it says, Torah's emes chayis b'fiyu, which means he delivered an address, he rendered a halachic decision, that is absolutely fantastic. Why? Because 30 years ago, or 20 years ago, or for the last 30 years, he never said a word of lashon hara. This second statement has nothing to do with what he's saying. You don't need to defend. When it says Taras MS, that includes the fact checking. Why was this person, did he merit that his peh would say words which the whole world is shaking from? They're disgusting. They enjoy and they absorb and they accept. You know why? Because this person's peh never ever said nivel peh. This peh never spoke lashon hara. It's because the peh is kadosh, So Hashem selected this pair to be the pair that will deliver an address to Klal Yisrael. That's how the Chidol learned. That's powerful stuff. Okay, out of the box. See, how come none of the Rishonim said this? He's probably one of the most modern people on the page, the Chidol. He lived not that long ago, the Chidol. And he says something that is like so super obvious. The reason why he was Zoicha, the Torah said this, because he never spoke Lashon Hara. He never said Nevel Peh. You think it's so easy? not so easy, right? Not so easy. Look, Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, this is not for us to understand, but on Moshe Rabbeinu level, maybe this was, Rashi says, Moshe, he did not want a nurse from Basia. Why? Because Basia was not Jewish. And it's not proper that the Peh, that will one day speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will speak to Klal Yisrael, should that Peh, should be Yoine, from a non-Jewish woman. And that's why the baby was in trouble. They had to go retrieve Yocheved. Okay? It's the same idea. Why was Moshe Zoicha too that his pair should be the pair that told Klal Yisrael? Because the Avul on himself is the same idea. But Svasov, he never, the pair was, there was no Lashon Hara, no nothing. That's the idea. That's the idea of the Chida. Inami, Evshel Lirmois, Chaysa Befiyu Misibas Piyu. Chaysa Befiyu Misibas, he's going a little bit further. Chaysa means it was, he translates the word Chaysa in a creative way. Doesn't mean was, because, the cause. Chaysa is, it's a little bit of a liberal translation. Misibas Piyu. Shakadosh Baruch Hu, I'm now turning the page, on page 879, Nasan loy matana, koyach adibri, ve'ein roi lehishtamesh b'matanosei neged ritzoy, noy kemo sherech harav bino le'itim zal. Ve'omar, toiras emes hoysa dekoydem, shenivra, hoya oymer halachos, al derech sh'amru d'moyshe rabbeinu, olav ha'sholem mitzoy lakash baruch hu, shoya oymer eliezer, Bini Omer Vuchulu. Let's say Bifiu, Shekivin Liachid Kutra Bruchu Shekhinte Bashevashem, Zebufia Bifi, these are all Kabbalistic things, I have no idea what these things mean. Viamar, the Avalims of Bisfasa, Bafder Mitzia, the Zinim, the Mishkachas, Kidab, other Bidvarm Shem in Bepashama Avla, Aval Im Yerid, Laumkam, Yeshemets Avla, Zama Vavalis of Avder Mitzia. All right, let's leave that out. That's the part. The first part at least was very beneficial to us. The first part of the second part of the Chumash Anach is a little bit too esoteric for me.
The Neis Rol, I don't know, Moshe, how they related to the Mitzrayim as they were turning the
what's they talk about? Someone
they,
wants to kill
say
you.
Not likely,
very unlikely. How do you know that? Because in the Holocaust, the Gedolei Yisrael, they didn't talk like that about the Nazis. They said they were shoyim. There's a nice vocabulary that we have available to describe wicked people. And make no mistake, a Russia is a Russia. Someone wants to kill you, he's a Russia, he's a Reidev, he has to be eliminated. You must learn to identify evil. That is super, super simple. But you don't go talk, you don't go use Nevel Peh. There's no excuse for Nevel Peh. Just because a person is a Russia, he has to be eliminated no matter what. And you have to save your life and do everything. You don't use Nevel Peh. You don't see that. You never heard about Gedolei Yisrael describing the Nazis who murdered them and killed them and destroyed them ever saying one word of Nevel Peh. And even we said many times that when the war was over, they were liberated by the Americans, the British, whoever. There were many, many, many situations, stories where the liberators gave the prisoners, they gave the Jews weapons and said, we're going to walk out of the room now and you can do whatever you want to the Nazis. And some of them did, but many did not. Many, many of the Gedolei Yisrael. It's the same idea. I mean, it's a certain discipline. We're not God. Let there be a din v'cheshbon. Clearly they're wicked, wicked, wicked. There's nothing to discuss. But no, Nevel Peh is Nevel Peh. We've got nothing to talk about. The Gemara says, the very fine Gemara, everyone knows why a Kala is walking down the Chuppah. Everyone knows that. Everyone has a dirty mind. That's what the Gemara says. every single person in this world has a dirty mind. A person who opens up his mouth and says what he thinks, even if it was meant to be for him a life, a good life of 70 years of prosperity, blessing, health, nachas, in one moment, canceled. All gone, all out the window. So, Gemara Masechta Kedushin, out the window.
And that idea catches on. People don't make this, you know,
They don't make dirty marks. I hope so. By the Goyim, there's no such thing as a comedian that does not make a dirty joke. There's no such thing. I remember there was once a comedian. There was an entertainment thing in my father's shul. They had like some type of entertainment thing, and someone got a Jewish comedian, and this person who hired him for this event for entertainment was enamored by this comedian. And all the jokes were not all kosher jokes. There were some dirty jokes. So I remember someone told, so he was a little nervous to do this. So he asked my father, can we hire him for the? I have to warn you. I heard him perform. I went to an event and he performed, and he says two or three dirty jokes. So my father told him, under no condition, you can make all the clean jokes, but under no condition can you make. And he told him what the jokes are. He told him this the whole script. Under no condition can you make the dirty jokes. So I was there by this event, and he couldn't control himself. And he said it, and he said the jokes. He couldn't, the comedian could not, even though he gave his word, hey, on today's standards, they wouldn't even be considered such dirty jokes. But those days were a little bit, it was a much cleaner world, and he just got caught, he got so caught up in his act, he could not control himself. It's a very dangerous an addiction. Okay, this is an important idea. Okay, we'll stop, take a short break. I want today to after the break, one moment to discuss Kiryas HaTorah. This week's parasha, the Koyein, the Melech, is instructed to write a Sefer Torah, V'koru Boy Kol Yimei Chayav. He has a special din of Kiryas HaTorah. How does that relate to our Kiryas HaTorah that we do every twice, three times, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and Shabbos Mincha? After we come back from this commercial break.
Yes, sir.
Sponsored by Taster's Choice.
That's a good one.